We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com. Thanks for listening as Pastor Stephen Hibden shares an encouraging word of God's love.
What kind of stories? Jim Monroe, he referenced a brand new birthday, and I want to declare over someone today that Jesus wants to give you a brand new birthday. I am so glad that you are here today. I want to welcome those who are visiting. I want to welcome those who are not visiting. It's good to see you today. I sure love my family here at this church. I sure love Jesus. And one of my favorite days is Easter. I love Easter. I grew up in a pastor's home where Easter was very important. I remember waking up at 5 in the morning every Easter because we always had an Easter sunrise service in the community. We'd go down to the river in Missouri and bring our candles, and everyone brought their own candle and light the candles and sing "He Arose." And every time you say "He Arose," you lift your candle up and you burn your arm with the wax. And my brother and I had so much fun with the wax. We would burn each other. And the truth is, Jesus did arise. And it made an impression on my life because a lot of pastors' kids end up never going back to Jesus because they're mad at him. Church, that. And I met Jesus, and I never left him, and I'm so thankful for that today. If you are new with us today or just visiting, we're not going to hound you, we're not going to pester you, but we may send one email or one text, and so there's this little white paper that you might get from someone. Someone might give this to you before you leave. If you fill it out, it doesn't ask for the whole world, it just asks for two things on it. You can get a free gift, and the free gift is a Christmas cookie. It's a Christmas cookie. I've never said Easter cookie together, so it's an Easter cookie. You probably saw them back there. They're really cool, and you'll want one, and you'll do anything to get it, and I know you will. So, and then inside the Easter cookie, they're all individually wrapped. It's true, they are individually wrapped. This part I'm not sure is true, is maybe a key to a brand new something. So make sure to do that. I would appreciate it. People will ask you, and you'll be like, what is this about? Now you know. If you have not trusted in Jesus, if you've walked away from him, or if you have doubted or not believed in him because of whatever reason, he wants to help you. Easter reminds us he wants to help you start fresh today. I have a message that is for those who don't know Jesus, but this message is for everyone who knows Jesus as well. Because what Jesus did on the cross, what Jesus did at the grave, also gives us hope not just to live for him when we, not to live for him so that when we die, we can go to heaven, but so that when we live, we can have abundance and we can have purpose. And there will be a challenge for all of us here. So don't check out, don't go to sleep. I forgot my brother's name, but I told him I was going to name him today if he fell asleep. He's brand new today. His dad's here. Thank you, John, for bringing him here. We're glad to have you. Thank you, sir. What's your name? Eric? Huh? I was way off, Kyle. You won't fall asleep. There may be many reasons why we put off a spiritual walk. All of us at times will say, not today. Maybe you wouldn't say, I don't want to serve Jesus. I am putting off my spiritual walk. Maybe you wouldn't say it that way, but maybe it's because you were abused or became bitter towards God. Or here's the biggest one that I find is that because the church did something to you, you discount what God can do for you. And let me tell you, if someone in the church, a church person, or the church has done something to you, it's not God doing that to you, because God loves us. God has unconditional love for us, unconditional forgiveness, grace, and mercy. And today may be a new start. I love the way that he put it in the video, a new birthday for you. a defining moment for you. My dad's spiritual birthday, I guess you would say, was on Good Friday one time when he was 12 years old. I shared that on Friday when we were together. And because of that, he's serving Jesus today, and I'm serving Jesus today. I am so thankful for that defining moment in his life, because let me tell you, every moment of your life is not weighed equally. I go here, I visit this person, I go to my work, I go to my job, I go to my school, I drop out of school, I get sick, I do this, I yell at this person, I get divorced, whatever. Every moment is not weighed equally. There are moments equally. There are moments that may last only a short time, but can change your life forever. And I call these moments defining moments in our life. Could you turn on those lights in that fancy way that we do here, the church? Yeah. I feel like people might be thinking that. The defining moments for me, the day I met my wife, Cynthia. You say, where is Cynthia? Well, she's mad today. No, she is in kids' ministries today. We wanted to make sure everything was perfect for our kids. That is so important to us. And, of course, Rhonda is preoccupied just for a while, right? And my wife is in there today, so I'm going to talk about her, but it's all good. The defining moment, one defining moment for me was the day I met my wife. And the way I met her, I was at college and I saw her on her balcony at school. And I said, wow, that girl I want to meet. No, actually what I said was, wow, that girl is a troublemaker. Because you know why she was on her balcony in her dorm room at a Bible college? Because it was the first week of school. She had gone to school one day, and then she got caught in a guy's room. Oh, my gosh. She is probably the most innocent girl I ever met. When we finally kissed, she'd never kissed a guy before, and it was obvious. And I knew how to kiss, so I taught her. No. But she was so innocent. So she was just like seeing the guy's room. She didn't mean anything. She got expelled from school for 2 weeks without the ability to go to class, got zeros in every class. And I thought of this girl. When I finally get to talk to her, I'm going to give her a piece of my mind, because this is a Bible college. This is for people who are serious about their walk with Christ, and I don't know what you were up to. Now, the thing was, there was nothing spiritual wrong with her, but I told her when I met her in the cafeteria that next week, I said, what is wrong with you? I said it in a nice way, but I believe I said my exact words were, you don't really belong here, which... As you can see now, I've kind of loosened up in my life, and it is because I needed Cynthia in my life, and that's what God does. And I said, this is not a place for you. You should find another school where you can study something that you're going to take seriously. And she didn't care, because that's how she is. She's like, whatever, dude. I don't know you. Don't care to know you. And then eventually, somehow, God, on February 14th, going to see the movie Aladdin. I don't know if you've ever seen it before, but I went. I went the week before to see Bodyguard, and she was with my best friend, Jeremy, and I was so jealous. I was watching them, making sure they weren't holding hands in the movie theater. They were just friends, and then I realized she is my soulmate, and we met. And that was my defining moment in my life. We all have other defining moments. The day our kids were born, you know, my son, my oldest son, his name is Noah. I have four kids, and that day I remember more than any of the births, because it was not a wonderful day, as you see on, I was going to say This Is Us, but This Is Us never has any happy moments. But in a when you see a happy moment in a movie and they have the baby and everyone's hugging and smiling, it was not that way. They rushed her to an emergency room and she had a C-section and we almost lost Noah. And then we got him to the room and I was like, why do we have to have this baby? I don't know what I'm doing. I can't handle this. And I remember, and it's kind of funny, but it's kind of awfully sad, is that I went into the bathroom in the hospital room. I can remember as clear as day, a defining moment. I said, Lord, please let this hospital just burn down. Let something happen and let us go to heaven. I want to be over with. You have those moments in your life. And I said, I want to be over with. I don't know how to raise this kid. I don't know what I'm doing. He won't stop crying, and he didn't stop crying for 2 years, it seemed like. My other kids, I saw Riley just walk by. If you're around, I want to talk nice about you. He was seriously a literal angel. He never made one peep. He was awesome. Reagan, she continues to be a problem. She was the one singing up here. Yes, she's just rebellious and mean and no, just she's awesome. But then the other defining moment with my babies that I remember is Jaden, because we adopted him, and it wasn't the typical way that you would have a baby. We went to get him. We were scared. It was a Sunday afternoon, and they said, the baby's ready to be taken. You can come get him. He had been at the hospital for a month, and we went to meet the mom, and she was holding the baby, and I had no idea what he would look like. I didn't know if I would love him. I didn't know if I would be scared of him, and I saw him, and immediately that defining moment for us, we both broke down in tears as we looked at this baby. It was just perfect. It was like perfect, and we brought him home, and the family hugged him, and everyone cried, and it was probably the most beautiful birth I've ever had in my life was an adoption, and it was beautiful. And I didn't mean that to be funny at all. It was beautiful. It was the most beautiful moment, and defining moments in our life are important. I want to close with one defining moment, one and very important. In fact, the most important day in history that we celebrate today is called Easter. And I say, He is risen. That means that some of you have been in church in the old days, old days, 1,000 years ago. That's how Christians, literally 1,000 years ago, would determine another Christian. They would say, He is risen. And if that person knew how to say, probably in a different language, Joe could probably correct me how I say this, but they would say, He is risen indeed, back to them. And that was how they knew, oh, you know Jesus, you're a believer. You believe in the resurrection. You can find the story of the resurrection in John 20. You can find it in Luke 24 and Mark 16. And I want to look at Matthew chapter 28 just for a brief moment. This is not just a story. It's not just a Sunday school lesson. This is a proven fact. The Bible has been around for centuries to show people historic facts and also show us what is real in our hearts, and we're going to talk about that just for a minute. It says, now after Sabbath, Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 through 9, and Ed, I don't believe you even have it. You have John, because that's where I was going to go earlier, but this is more succinct, so I'm going to use this one. You read this one. That's your homework, John 20. You read that on your own, okay? After the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day, if you have a Bible, one day people used to bring Bibles to church. And I know, I'm the pastor, so I have to have my Bible. If you want to look in on your phone, you can as well, but don't go to Facebook. I want you to pay attention. Toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, another Mary, went to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. I love that. His appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow, and for fear of the guards trembled and became like dead men. They fell down, but the angel said to the woman, don't be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus. And Jesus and God would say to you today, the Holy Spirit would say to you, you may be looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he is not here, he is risen. Come and see the place that he lay. Do you understand what this revelation meant in that time? Do you understand what this revelation meant for us today, that Jesus rose from the dead? This is what it meant, because Jesus had been highly regarded. Oh, he's a wonderful teacher. Yes, he had done miracles. Yes, he claimed to be the Son of God. Yes, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But he might as well have said, I am the sun, earth, moon, and stars, because no one really, well, a lot of people really did not believe him. Even today, they do not believe him. They say, yes, he was a good teacher. Yes, he was a great man. But they fail to see the truth behind that was that he said, in 3 days, I will die and I will raise from the dead. When he did that, that showed the world he is not a liar. He is not a lunatic. He is exactly who he said, because he said he was going to do it, and then he actually did it. That is why the resurrection is so important. Maybe you would say today that Easter is just another holiday. Jesus is just another great teacher. But with this view, we miss out on experiencing Jesus as the conquering hero in our lives, in your life. We miss out on experiencing that God is alive and desires to bring some kind of purpose and meaning to our lives. When you forget or when you neglect to include the resurrection in your life. I can look at a doctor, if this ever comes to this moment in my life, and yes, the sting of death is scary, but it has not won over me. And if a doctor said, Stephen, you only have 1 week to live. You only have 3 days to live. You only have 1 hour before your life will be over. Because all of our lives are terminal. Whether it's now or whether it's later, we all are going to die. I can look that doctor in the eye because of the resurrection, not just because of the miracles, they were great, not because of Jesus' teaching, but because Jesus proved that he had power over death when he rose from the dead. I can look at the doctor and say, yes, I may die, and I may die today, but I know where I will go, and I have that hope. Amen? Yeah, that is a good place to clap. Amen. That's what Easter means to me. It is the resurrection that causes my life now to be in abundance. Listen to this. The defining moment, I looked it up in the dictionary after I decided to name this message this, and it is a great definition. I love Webster's when he agrees with me. And I called him and I said, Webster, I loved your TV show when back in the day. It was such a cute show. A defining moment, by definition, is a point at which, Kyle, I was making sure you're awake. So do you remember Webster? Remember that show? No, you don't. You don't. You have no idea. Emmanuel Lewis, God with us. Emmanuel. A defining moment, by definition, is a point at which the essential nature or character of a person is revealed. And let me tell you, Jesus revealed his nature, his true character, when he rose from the dead. Because when he did that, everything about everything changed. Everything about everything changed. And that is why we have the church today. And let me tell you today, everything, when you embrace the cross, but when you embrace Jesus as alive in your life, everything about everything can change. Could I have some music? Could I have Laura? Would you come up and play? Thank you, my sister. Because millions testify, like Jim Monroe, as we saw in that video, and myself, I believe the account in the Bible, but more than that, I believe the experience that I've had with Jesus that has brought me, the Bible calls it abundant life, and some, we don't use the word abundant. Oh, there is abundance of bananas at the store. There is a lot of life that God gives us when we embrace him, and my life has been full. And if I was to die today, I would be grateful because I have lived with a hope. I have lived with a life, Jesus with me. You say today, well, I don't need everything about everything to change in my life. I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a simple question, and it is this. Have you ever really experienced Jesus alive in your life? Not dead, but have you experienced the Jesus that is alive in your life? If you question, well, I think sometimes, I would venture to say you probably haven't, because there is no mistaking when you begin to live your life knowing Jesus is alive. You would say, I don't need everything about everything to change in my life. Maybe you don't, but you probably need some things, and including myself. I will include myself in this. I need some things to change in my life. I ask you a question. Have you had hurt? Or where is your hurt? Let me tell you, God, in the form of Jesus being alive, wants to fill it. Do you have pain? Where is your pain? God wants to heal it. Do you have struggles? Well, not me. I've never had a struggle. I'm perfect. I've never had a sin. I've just lived my life blameless before the Lord. That is no one in the room. God would say, if you have struggles, or if you've been through struggles, or if you're getting ready to go through struggles, I am with you, and I will not leave you. I have always been with you from the beginning. You may not have noticed me. You may have not have recognized me, but I've been waiting. I have been sitting next to the door of your heart, waiting for you to ask me to be a part of your life, because I want to help you. Yes, you may have trouble. Yes, you may have struggles. Yes, you may have hurt. Yes, you may have sickness. But I want to be with you through it. I will be your hope in it, and I will be your heaven after it. Maybe you are here today and have already experienced that defining moment in your life. I have exciting news for you as well. God is not finished with you yet. Before we go on, I just feel that we just need to take a moment. And I want you to go ahead and close your eyes. When you ask Jesus to start being in charge, Jesus, as the great theologian said, Carrie Underwood, take the wheel in my life. My son makes fun of that song. But I would say to you, when you want Jesus to take control in your life, it doesn't require this step, this step, this step, this hoop, this hoop, this hoop, fix this, fix this, fix this, change this, change this, change this. Because here's the thing, Jesus does all of that. Jesus does all the housekeeping. Jesus does all the cleaning. Jesus does all the forgiving. Jesus does all of the help with your addictions and your hang-ups and your problems. He does all that, but he says, while you were still in your sin, or while you were still searching, struggling, wondering, I died for you. I didn't wait till you fixed your life. I did it for you. I have a love for you that you don't understand. And he says simply, it starts with a prayer. Just ask me something like, God, I'm sorry for my sins. Transport, you know, as Jim Monroe had that girl give him new blood. Jesus does the same for us. Blood represents life. Blood represents life. And Jesus would say, I want to give you new blood into your life. That could sound really creepy and really weird, but all he is saying is, I want to give you a brand new birthday today. It is a spiritual transaction that will show itself in the physical. You will see a change in your life when you allow Jesus to do that for you. And I want to give you an opportunity right now on Easter Sunday, the day we celebrate the resurrection. Are you here today with everybody's eyes closed? I don't do this because I feel it just has to be done all the time. But there is no opportunity at the grocery store for someone to say, who needs Jesus? Just raise your hand. It doesn't happen. So why? It better happen somewhere. And so it's going to happen right here on Easter Sunday in this place. If you are here today, you have walked away from Jesus. You are struggling with your belief in him. You doubted him. You wonder. You are bitter. You have been abused. You have your reasons. You have your questions. Why, God? Why this? But there is something inside you, and it's called the Holy Spirit, because God created you. God created every one of you, and he made you in his image, the Bible says in Genesis. That means his spirit is in you already, whether it's alive, whether it's living yet or not, it is in you. And he is tugging on your heart, in your mind, and he is saying, You need to make a defining moment today. You need to take a new step. You need a fresh start. You need a new birthday. If you are here and you need Jesus to do something new in your life today, and you need Jesus to become Lord again of your life, would you just raise your hand and say, Jesus, I declare right here in this place, I need you. Go ahead. Don't be shy. I need you, Jesus. I need your help. Amen, brother. Anybody else, raise your hand. Say, I need you today. Amen, amen. There, I'm just going to wait. You can put your hand down. Put your hand down. I'm going to wait just for a moment again because I know there's someone else that God is speaking to. Do you need Jesus today? Let him give you forgiveness, a new life, new grace, new mercy. Just raise your hand and put it right back down real quickly. Real quickly. Where are you at? Where are you at? Amen. Amen. Would you all raise, open your eyes? We're closing now. I said I have good news for all of us, and that we don't just serve Jesus so we can have forgiveness. We're going to be talking about defining moments over the next few weeks, and I want you to understand that he always has more for us. He always has more purpose, more grace. He always has more for us, more peace, more defining moments to just to bring us into. He didn't just resurrect. He is the resurrection and the life. And the Holy Spirit would love to help us discover where he might be calling us to next. Because there's one thing that makes me madder than the devil, okay? And this is that. And then we're going to be done. I will step onto my soapbox. One thing that makes me madder than the devil, and this is this. When people live their life in vain, not realizing that they have defining moments set up for them, for themselves and for others. And they come into church and they sit in the pew and they go to church and they sing the song and nothing changes. They stay the same place in their walk with Jesus. That is not what we are called to. We are called to abundant life. We are called to an exciting adventure. We are called to a life full of power and God's presence, that where we walk, people say, there is something different about that man. There is something different about that woman. I don't know what it is. I don't know if I want to believe it, but I want to get to know them because there is something I need that they have. And the Bible calls it, they will know you by your judgment. Is that what it says? It says they will know you. And I have to put a smile on my face. And everybody put your smile on your face because this is not a mean thing. It's passionate. They will know you by your love. And I get so sick of the church not showing love to the earth, not showing love to the world. That's why it was so beautiful yesterday when I saw men and women, brothers and sisters joining together as we did this Easter egg hunt for this community, as people smiled and showed love. Because you know why people liked the Easter egg hunt? We got lots of compliments. Why they liked it? They liked the candy. They liked those things. But there was a spirit here, and that was the Spirit of God because of you. Because God gives you purpose, and there are defining moments that he has for you to transform somebody else's life. And when your life is over, and when you are on your deathbed, it is true what Russell Crowe said. It is very true. Did you hear that in that video? What you do in life, I want to say it like him in an English accent, echoes into eternity. But there are some of us. Is that all right? There are some of us, worship team, all of you. Would you come forward? Come on up. We're close. Get ready. We're going to do this too. There are some of us that will not echo into eternity. What you've done will be done, and it will be over, and no one will ever know your name. You may never even have an eternity because of whatever, because you didn't put Jesus first. And I do not want that to be said of me. Who wants that to be said of them? No one, right? No one. I want us to declare together a prayer. Just repeat it after me. You can open your eyes, you can close your eyes. But on this Easter Sunday, who would love to declare again that Jesus is alive in your life and you are ready to live with the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead? Who wants that? Who wants to live with that? That's what will change our world. It will not change your world that I'm a Christian. Yes, don't tell anyone. I know. It's not about who you vote for. It's not about what you believe in. That. None of that. But you better stand up for Jesus because he's got so much that he wants to give to others. And would you close your eyes or open your eyes and say this with me? Today, Lord Jesus, I celebrate Easter. And I told you to do it, so if you don't want to say it, you don't have to. But most of you want to say this prayer. I celebrate Easter by making a new commitment, a fresh commitment to live for you, Jesus, in a stronger, more influential, and compelling, and inspiring, and captivating way. Do you remember the beginning of the sentence still? You're saying, I dedicate myself to Jesus in a stronger way. Amen? Amen. Sister, would you come forward?
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.